A little bit low,
quite a bit low.
Are you here now?
We are able.
So Srila Prabhupada explained how Janmashtami is the day historically, just at the end of the Dwapara Yuga, the supreme absolute truth, the cause of all causes, the source of all that exists, the proprietor of everything, and the ultimate object of every living being's love, appeared within this world. In his original transcendental Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarava Karanakarama. The Krishna's beautiful form, his personality, was not at all subjected to the vulnerabilities of this material existence. The Lord's form, his personality, was eternal, full of knowledge and skill. And his name is Govinda, which means he gives ultimate pleasure to the mind, to the heart, to the senses, to the earth, to the cows. And Anadira Dira Govinda Sarva Sarva. The Tato Brahma Chaitanya, the source of everything that exists. The Absolute Truth, Brahma Sutta says, is Janma Dhyashaya, from whom everything emanates. That one supreme, all-knowing, all-lovable Absolute appeared within this world. And being a Janmashtami. Krishna tells in Gita, Yada Yada Dharmasya, Ranyar Bhavati Bharata Abhutana Adharmasya Tadatmanam Sri Chandyaham. And that one supreme truth, the all-attractive Lord, appears within this world and in it can. Throughout human history, all the great spiritual paths of religion have been established generally by either an avatar of Krishna or a power representative. We read in Srimad Bhagavatam not just the history of the last few thousand years, but Shukadeva Goswami is explaining a history of creation. And the principle incarnations of Krishna that appear at different times for different purposes. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chukasutam dharma samskutanavanaya sambhavami yuge yuge. The principal purposes of the Lord's advent into this world as an avatar is to re-establish the true principles of dharma, to protect the innocent and to annihilate ignorance. Krishna Surayasam Maya Maya Anjakam. Lord Chaitanya explains that Krishna is like the sun, and illusion, ignorance, is like darkness. In the presence of the sun, darkness cannot exist. Prabhupada explains that Janmashtami also means the appearance of Krishna within our heart. Well, this way, every day could be Janmashtami. Just like Krishna's father's name was Vasudeva. And Krishna's name is Vasudeva. Well, just as Krishna appeared as the child of Vasudeva, when we come to this platform, Krishna appears within our own hearts. And similarly, Krishna, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, appeared within a prison cell. A prison cell of Kamsa. Kamsa, besides being Krishna's maternal uncle, he was also the embodiment of egoism, greed, selfishness, envy, lust. And wherever these qualities are manifested, there will be fear. You see, some people think, when they do not have the light of knowledge, that the more they can satisfy their greed, their egos, arrogance, the more they will overcome the frailties of this existence. But as long as we have these anarchists, these desires in our heart, that's actually the very cause of fear. When someone is actually humble, when someone is actually compassionate, when someone is not attached to one's selfish motivations, one can take shelter of the Lord wholeheartedly. And then one becomes fearful. So when our hearts are filled with these anarchas, envy, greed, arrogance, selfish passions, anger, that our heart is like the prison cell of Kamsa. There's a lot of darkness there. And our own desires and our own fears are like chains that keep us bound. Birth after birth after birth. This darkness. But because Vasudeva and Devaki, they offered sincere prayers. They took shelter in helpless devotion. Krishna appeared. And in the same way, Srila Prabhupada actually quotes from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that Devaki represents bhakti or devotion. Kamsa represents that all of these bad qualities, these negative qualities, fear of material existence. Now when a devotee, understanding the power of vision, like Devaki, sincerely takes shelter of the Lord, then Krishna takes birth. Takes birth means manifest. Actually, Krishna tells in Gita, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for that person I never lost, nor they never lost to me. Krishna's everywhere. What does it mean? Takes birth. He's within the heart of every living being. As the Paramatma is in between Adam. He's within his name. He's within his deity form. But we can't see. The eyes of a cataract on him. We can't see things as they are. So Krishna manifests He's in our heart forever, but we can't see. Until like David, under the prison cell of all the desires within this mind, we cry out and take shelter. Sometimes the mind and the heart are explained to be very, very connected. I read something by a clinical psychiatrist and psychologist who said that an average human being has 60,000 thoughts every day. Did you ever try to count your thoughts? I don't think anybody's ever done that in history. Counted their thoughts. So maybe the psychiatrist is mad. I don't know. But definitely we have a lot of thoughts. And when Devaki and Vasudeva offered their prayers and they took shelter, Satgarbhas appeared. The Satgarbhas represented the six anarthas which we were discussing. Envy and greed and arrogance, anger, illusion, lust, selfish. Dukhi Devaki's being in the presence of Kamsa in this prison, she took shelter. And in the same way, when we take shelter of the holy name of the Lord, then these anarchists are removed. And then Balaram entered into the wounding of David. He came into that prison house of Kamsa. And his purpose is to prepare the way for Krishna, to make everything just right. And in the same way, within the heart of every living being, Balaram is the Guru Dhamma, the original Guru, who prepares the way for Krishna to manifest. And similarly, the great gurus of this world, through their knowledge, through their blessings, through their example, through the organizations that they create to facilitate, they actually prepare our hearts to see Krishna, for Krishna to appear. So Balaram made every arrangement. He made Devaki's womb just a perfect, super place for Krishna to manifest. And then he moved on to Rohini's womb. And that is what is so special about Balaram's appearance. As well as the historical pastimes that are connected to it. This is a very special far and wide to to open people's hearts to accept the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. There's a beautiful Bengali song that Lord Nityananda Prabhu would sing. Baja Gorango Kamu Gorango Namu Gorango Namre Jejana Gorango Baja Say hi Amago Bet Worship Gorango. Chant the names of Gorango. Talk about Gorango. And anyone who does this becomes my very life instrument. Nityananda Prabhu's special feature was that he did not evaluate who was fit or unfit for this gift of pure bhakti. He was enthusiastic to offer it to people. It's like a gardener who's willing to offer seeds when there's absolutely dry, barren land, or whether it's very fertile. Nityananda Prabhu was ready to offer those seeds. He was eager to plow the field, to water the seeds, everything. If we just accept. Tina hine yata chino hari nama karina tara sakshi chakai. And he took this as an example of jagai and madhana. For the purpose of showing that there is infinite hope to everyone. Whatever we have done, whatever we have not done, nothing, no ignorance, no misbehavior could ever be enough. So that the seed of devotion cannot grow. If we just accept the right type of lifestyle, and we sincerely take shelter of the Lord in the Lord's name. This was Nityananda Prabhu's great message to get this beautiful opportunity happy with. Lord Srila Prabhupada, when he saw the situation of the world today, he had this great confidence that if we can just somehow or other bring this compassion, this mercy of Lord Nityananda to the people of the world, there can be great transformation. Infinite hope everywhere. If we just have that faith, then we're willing to open our hearts to receive. Recently, I was in New York City and I was sitting in 26 Second Avenue. It's really a simple place. How many of you have been there? On the Lower East Side of New York. It's a tiny storefront. Tanya Shri Bhopa was going there in 1966. Very run down. And the kind of people who were coming, some of them were quite crazy people. The Srila Prabhupada saw infinite hope in every heart. He saw incredible spiritual possibility in everyone. And it was because he saw that, that so many people could be totally transformed. That's the quality of an empowered spiritual leader. If they see the spiritual potential in our hearts, however covered it may be, however distracted we may have been, they see that potential within us. As the Prabhupada explained, even in a massive forest of darkness, a devotee of the Lord shall look for even a single spark. Now, sometimes forests are many hundreds of miles, kilometers in size. You have forests like that, don't you? As far as the eyes can see, forests, thousands of acres. Great devotee, the heart is like a forest. The material existence is like a forest. He's just looking for even a single spark. And there's sparks everywhere. And if you were about that, he would just see that spark, put his focus, his attention, and vanish. And if you were just, those who were just willing to allow him to do that, through knowledge, through grace, with inspiration to devotional service, that little spark becomes a massive fire, the fire of devotion, the fire of happiness that burns away all ignorance and suffering. In that little storefront, you will see the potential, not only in every single person that came in, but he was seeing the potential for the whole world. And actually, the people who are coming in, they didn't even know what they were looking for in life. But because he has so much hope in them, They understood what their potential really was. It's good about all of us to be spiritual teachers. I'm one level or another. A mother, a father is a spiritual leader for children. Children are spiritual leaders for other children. On so many levels, leadership needs to see that potential, to see that hope within others. And by our example, by our words, by our wisdom, to actually inspire people to cultivate. And cultivate that seed of devotion. So today, I had no idea what I was going to talk about. So I asked him that she had to go over this story, what I should talk about. And they told me to talk about cows. So I guess I should begin the class. But it is important that we recognize that potential in ourselves, and we also recognize that spiritual potential within everything. Whether we realize that potential or not is based in our free will. Mamaiva so jiva loke jiva buddhasa. Everyone is part of Krishna. the Atma, the spirit soul, is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. That's who we are. That's who we've always been. And that's who we'll always be. Nitya Sita Krishna Prem Satya Prabhupada Savanadhi Sudhi Jiti Kodiya Mubhaya. That love from Krishna is within us. It is our greatest potential. It is our constitutional nature. It's the happiness that we're always seeking. So when Srila Prabhupada was establishing this society, even before he came, he wrote some of the principal objectives of his coming to the West. And to be a devotee of the Lord means to be an instrument of compassion, of Krishna's compassion. And Krishna tells him, give aham bita pratapita. And he's the mother and the father of all living beings. And when Krishna was on this earth, he took the, when he was living in Vrindavan, he accepted the beautiful pastimes of a cowherd. Taking care of cows, taking care of calves and bulls. Even Srimad Bhagavatam, we also have buffaloes and goats. He was also completely showering his love, his affection, his protection on parrots and peacocks, deers, and every living being. That was Krishna. As Lord Chaitanya, he was showing the same compassion to tigers and elephants and snakes. But the cow is considered a mother. Very special. When people learn actually how to properly honor the life-loving qualities of the cows, the bulls, the calves, then they naturally, under proper guidance, learn to have those feelings of compassion to everything. Srila Prabhupada, when a couple of his devotees got a piece of land, which was the first time in society, he said, we should get cows and show the world how to be compassionate, kind, to protect cows. So much that they are always happy. The Prabhupada protection wasn't just not killing them. He was giving them so much love and affection that they were actually happy. And at the time, these devotees, they didn't have any money. And this was in the United States of America. So at that time, it wasn't that easy to buy a cow. You didn't have money. Because every dairy, everyone, as soon as the cow was not getting milk, they sent it to the slaughterhouse. And they make money. So if you want to buy a cow, it has to be, you have to give them more money than they're going to get from their meat. not just speak if they're giving them, but maybe something else. So Prabhupada said, get cars. So with whatever little money they had, they bought the first cow from this guy. Would you like to hear about this? Secretly, it's one of my favorite of all subjects. The first cow of this. The first cow in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement outside of India. It's very historical. Well, they got the cheapest cow that they could get. She was very small, very skinny, and she only had one eye. She was blind in one eye. It was just like a gray, you know how people, when they're blind, it's just like a grayish blue all over. And one eye was nice. So there was this little skinny black-colored one-eyed cow. And she was pregnant. And she had a little calf. And Srila Prabhupada met her in 1969. Went up this mountain. In those days, you had to go 3 miles up a mountain. To get to this 150-year-old dilapidated farmhouse that was the temple, the ashram, and everything else. And the barn was even older, really old. And Prabhupada met this one-eyed black queen. And he named her Kalia. So Papa stayed for a few weeks, and Kalia remained living up there most all her time. And Srila Prabhupada came back in 1972, but Kalia was way up in the mountain, and he was down, because they got some property near the main road, which really could be developed nicely. And then he came again in 1974, and again in 1976. Now in 1973, I moved up to that mountain town. And I was taking care of Kalia and a few other cows. And I was also doing the deity worship, which of God of Vrindavana, Prabhupada. Something that was very interesting to me, when I first came there, everyone was talking about pokeweed. I ate some and I thought, what's this? And then they told me, I liked it so much. So then, as soon as I heard that, I really liked it. Faith is a very mysterious thing. Sometimes you taste with your tongue, and sometimes you taste with your mind, and sometimes you taste with your heart. Can you analyze that? It's like if you're really in a good mood, and somebody says, oh, this is really nice food, and prasad, and you eat it, and your mind is peaceful, and you're eager, then it tastes nice. But if you're really in a miserable state of mind, not going to taste so nice. But if it's something that someone you really love loves, or it's something that's prepared with great love, can you actually taste it with your heart? And that's how prasad should be tasted. Of course we taste it with our tongue. Then we honor that. And we taste it with our mind, we honor that. But prasad is actually supposed to be tasted with the heart. It's Krishna's grace, Krishna's mercy. Krishna has manifested the sun and the rain and the earth and the seeds in order for anything to grow. And then when devotees take that and offer it to Krishna with love and devotion, and Krishna accepts it and blesses it with his grace, when we seek food in that way, we're grateful. We're actually accepting prasad with love. And we taste it with love. Now I'm going to divert from the story. And I usually forget where I've diverted from, so please remind me later. We left off the cow, yes? Okay. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was living in Puri. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was a multi-billionaire, the single heir to his parents, who had fabulous wealth. And he left it all because he considered the greatest of all treasures is the opportunity to serve the Lord and the devotees. And he just didn't care about anything else. He was given wealth, he was given power, he was given prestige, he was given everything the material world has to offer. He was young, he was handsome. But for his service was the greatest thing. So he left it all and went to Puri. He was living such a simple life. And his parents were actually sending to him a lot of money to eat nicely and dress nicely and live nicely. But he just gave it all away and lived in such a simple way. And it's a long story, beautiful story. But eventually, what was he eating? We cannot imitate Prabhupada Goswami. If you try to imitate him, you will certainly die. But we can understand what he represents. And we can cherish the aspiration to follow the principles that he represents. You see, in Puri there's the temple of Jagannath. And the special preparation they offer Jagannath is rice. Because rice really grows in Orissa. So they would offer Jagannath rice, and then they would give it as prasad, and much of it they would give to shopkeepers to sell. And when the shopkeepers would sell the rice that was growing old, they would just give it away to simple people. And after some time, when the rice became rotten, then they wouldn't give it to any humans. They would take the rotten rice that nobody ate, and they would put it in a mountain just outside one of the gates of Jagannath's temple. At that mountain, the cows used to come and eat the rice. They like it. The cows would come and eat the rice. And some of the rice was so rotten that the cows would spit it out. And none of the others would touch it because it was too far gone. Prabhupada, in the middle of the night, when everyone around was sleeping, he would secretly go to that little mountain and collect the rice that the cows spit out. And he would take the inner portion of it and wash it and eat that. That's all he ate. He didn't tell anybody. It was just a very private way of expressing his love for Krishna. It was such a simple life. He was the happiest man in the world. Because he was tasting something so special. So Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, he heard from Swarup Damodara what Prabhupada Goswami was eating. The Lord knows everything because he's in everyone's heart. So he came to the little hut that Raghunath was living in, and he asked him, "Raghunath, I heard you are eating a sumptuous feast every day. Why don't you invite me?" And Raghunath was very shy, very humble. He said, "Oh, my Lord, I don't know what you're hearing. It's not like that." Lord Chaitanya said, "But I want some. Give me some of what you're eating." And Raghunath said, "I can't give you this." But Lord Chaitanya came right when it was time for him to eat. And Lord Chaitanya came, he hid it so the Lord wouldn't see it. So Lord Chaitanya, he had very long arms. So he reached around Raghunath and picked up this little leaf cup full of this, whatever you want to call it, the decomposed rice spit out by cows. And Lord Chaitanya took a handful and ate. And Swarup Damodara Goswami, Lord Chaitanya's secretary, took it away. He said, "My Lord, you cannot eat any more of this." And Lord Chaitanya was so emotional. He was in a spiritual ecstasy. He said, I have tasted so many cakes and so many sabjis and so many pastries and so many grains, all different types of prasad, but I have never tasted anything so delicious as what Raghunath is eating. So my Lord Chaitanya tasting it with his tongue, was tasting it with his body, was tasting it with his heart. Lord Chaitanya was tasting nectar. Raghunath Das Goswami was tasting nectar. Because Raghunath was saying that this is Krishna's prasad. Even in this form, he has such gratitude. You see, the whole world is so much based on our perception. Krishna consciousness means to be conscious of Krishna's presence in every situation. The opportunity to serve, the opportunity to love in every situation. The opportunity to grow. And even in tragedy, although mentally and even the heart could be very grief-stricken by a tragedy, it cannot interfere with the happiness deep within it. Because connected to Krishna, the source of all happiness. Srila Prabhupada liked pork meat. He lived for everyone like pork meat. And I can tell you completely honestly, from an objective perspective, pork meat is ecstatic. But I was not objective until I understood how much Prabhupada liked pork meat. I was subjective to the whims of my tongue. So during those years, I was up there in the mountain and all the devotees were down in the ever-growing community. And I was like a hermit up there. Kaliya was up there. Sometimes a couple other cows too. And Kali was so special. I met a lot of cows in my life, but no one was like Kali. She was like a princess. She walked with such grace, almost with majesty. She was so humble, so grateful, so loving. She never kicked me when I was looking. Even the nicest cows sometimes kick you. Cows would never kick you. She ain't gonna hurt you. And she would always walk with such dignity and grace. And when there were ever cows, she would always let them go first. Not because she was afraid, but there was something very mystically special about this little, tiny, dejected one-eyed cow. And later on, when money started coming, they were buying beautiful brown Swiss cows, and beautiful Holstein cows, and beautiful Jersey cows, and beautiful Guernsey cows, and purebred, and cows that were children of great famous sires. They were very big. One cow, I remember, Christopher. She was getting, meters. Do you know what a gallon is? How many meters are a gallon?
4.5. 4.5.
3.7.
This is going to be a story at this point. Can you speak louder?
So litter
780
milliliters.
Just one again. 2.78 liters.
All
those
three
liters. I'm so happy you're here. One of the cows, Zimbabwe, she was giving 120 pounds of milk a day. And her daughter, Saraswati, was giving 140 pounds of milk a day. How many liters?
That's 60 liters.
15-60
liters.
One day. They're huge. The little cow he had to go. She was like the queen. And they all respected her. They all honored her because there was something about her. She had a compassion. She had a grace. And every year she'd give one cow. And in 1976, long story.
Arrivo!
I plan to make it short. Srila Prabhupada hadn't been up on this mountain since 1969. It was about 7.5 years. Really wanted to come, but the main community was elsewhere. And at one point, we were told by the leaders, because I was just a little pounded guy up there, I was told by one of the leaders, Prabhupada will take him up there. So we were so happy, he's coming. And then we were told, it's a jungle up there, we cannot break Prabhupada. So that was the end of that. So the deities, they're just little grass deities, Krishna and Radha. Yeah, I was just doing the same service as a Pujari priest. And I was thinking, if Prabhupada will come to see them, at least I'll bring them to see Prabhupada. And there was one photograph of these deities in the whole world. Nobody bothered to come up there with a camera. But there was the first devotee ever to join a movement in Europe. His name was Kula Shekhar. He joined in London. And he was living there. He had a camera. And he gave me a black and white photograph of the deity. The only one that I'm going to bring it. I climbed down a mountain, I crossed a river, climbed up a mountain, and went to where Prabhupada was giving a lecture. At least I thought. That night it started raining. And he was giving a lecture outside every night. So it was canceled. So he was in a small room. And there was just some very, very high leaders of our society in the room with him, and nobody else was allowed. So I didn't know what was happening. I just came, climbing the mountain, I was full of mud. And I went down this little hallway, and Prabhupada's secretary wants sannyasi. I was not a sannyasi. I was a brahmachari. He was standing in front of the hallway. He said, nobody sees Prabhupada tonight. I said, well, thank you very much. Will you give him this photo? And he said, I will give him the photo. But then he looked at the photo, and something happened to him. As soon as he looked at him, the face of Radharani and Krishna, he said, he smiled. He And he said, "You go give it to Pearl." So I said, "All right." I was actually scared. I went in the room and there was all these very important people and I just pulled me. And I went and I bowed down and I gave the form of Prabhupada. And then he kept looking at the form. And he had tears in his eyes. He said, "Krishna, Krishna's sitting here." And they're looking at each other. I was so happy just watching, thinking, that's my fulfillment. I wanted Prabhupada to come up to see the deities and now he's sitting and they're sitting here and they're happy. And then Prabhupada said,
"I want to go see them."
And the leader said, "No, Prabhupada, don't go. It's a jungle up there. We can't get up there." "Oh, okay, you have to pick up." "I want to go. We will go." So then everybody had to accept. So Prabhupada, every day, would take a morning walk. And what they decided, because that was a really muddy road, without exaggeration, in most of the road in the summer, you had to wear boots halfway to your knees. Otherwise, you'd disappear. The first day I came there, I was sent up there because I guess they thought I was strange. And I had these chapels from India, you know, these rubber slippers. Very nice vocabulary. So I took 3 steps into that row and the mud, literally, stepping over. Everybody left, except me. I'm addressing the deities and I was told that as soon as Prabhupada walks in the door, you have to press the tape recorder with Yamuna Devi chanting. Prabhupada comes in, must go on, and then open the doors of the altar open. So I go on of my brothers, my godbrothers, and I decided to do open doors and I couldn't see when Prabhupada was going to come in. So I said, as soon as he comes in, tell me, and then I'll... Actually, he was supposed to press the button because I was going to open the door. As soon as he comes in, you press the button of the tape recorder. When the music starts, I'll open the doors and everything will be just perfect. Anyways, he was supposed to come like at 7 o'clock. I ran out. I said, is he still coming? No, he's not here. About a half hour passed. And he's coming out. Remember those little Panasonic tape recorders with cassette tapes?
Yeah.
You press the button. And the little speaker about this big. Or else that was really a modern technology. Well, I came out into the little hallway. And the person who was supposed to press the button wasn't there. So I ran into the temple room. And there was no one in the temple room except Srila Prabhupada. He was standing there, and I looked at him, and I was shocked. And he looked at me like, where is everybody? What's happening here? Obviously, I looked quite disorganized. So I bowed down and I ran inside and I pressed the tape recorder and then I ran at the altar and then I opened the door and it was just Prabhupada and me. With everybody else, they got stuck in the mud. So anyways, they all came running in a few seconds later. Prabhupada smiled at me and said, very nice, very nice. But then I was told something very special. And what I'm going to share with you is the very reason of telling this story. Are you ready?
Yeah.
So Prabhupada was walking. Maybe about 100 devotees behind from the Bhagavad Gita in the front. And to the side of this muddy path was a big pasture. And Kalia is in the pasture. She hadn't seen Prabhupada in 8 years. Prabhupada hadn't seen Prabhupada in 8 years. When Kalia saw Prabhupada, she did something she never did before. She started running, and she was an old cow. Because actually, the reason they sold her to us for so cheap, not only she had one eye, and she was tiny, and she was skinny, but they said she was very old. So this is 8 years later. She was very old. She started running. She ran right, there was kind of a fence, and she somehow or other, it wasn't a very good fence, she broke right through it. And she went right up and started walking beside Prabhupada, side by side. And everybody who understood the dynamics of this situation was very, very deeply affected. And somebody was going to say to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, do you know who this is? And they said, Prabhupada, do you know? And Srila Prabhupada was just kidding. He was walking and he stopped and he looked at Kali and Kali looked at him. And Srila Prabhupada Prabhupada said, yes, I know who she is. This is my old friend, Kali. And we walked together to the temple. She brought her another soul person, and Kali over. So you see, love is not just between minds. Love is not just between species. Real love from the soul to the soul. And when Krishna, when we are blessed with the grace of Krishna, we can actually realize that potential to love within our own soul. And we can recognize that sacred, divine, beloved part of Krishna in Krishna. And then Prabhupada was talking about, he said, in 1969, I tasted her milk, and it was the best milk I had it for you. And she was still getting milk. So I think some people got her milk and brought it down to Prabhupada. They made sweet rice. And he said, this is the best sweet rice I've had before. Compassion was trying to open the treasure of our hearts so we could see what was really inside.